With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine. This is a preview of this week's bonus content, a recording from the Team Human Salon that we did on our team members' Discord channel with our recent guest, Professor Sarah Pessin. Sarah's a philosophy professor at University of Denver and a very interesting writer and thinker. She's also just started up a Medium column, and it's not behind their paywall. It's free to all. So if you do a search for Sarah Pessin on Medium, you can start seeing some of her work there. And of course, if you want to hear this whole conversation or come live to the Team Human Discord sessions and salons that we've been doing, just go to teamhuman.fm and click on support.
My practice of philosophy has always been about what I've come in recent years to call an ethics of vulnerability and a vulnerability in reading. And I'm really excited. One of my graduate students is actually writing a dissertation now on vulnerable reading based on sort of some of the approaches that I use in my classroom. But that's something that, again, obviously for political comportment. So that's another kind of way that my philosophy, the second way that it kind of connects me to these ambiguous spaces. It's about the sort of receptivity and vulnerability of spending a really long amount of time in somebody else's word space and wrestling with it, and not just being like, okay, I got it, next. You know, I always tell my students, you take a class with me on whoever, Levinas, it's a 10-week class. I say, I'm not here to like indoctrinate you to Levinas. However, if the first thing that comes out of your brain is, here's why he's wrong, and you don't even know what he's saying yet, and then we have a problem. So I frequently kind of, you know, in my classes, I back up to discuss comportment, not just content, because I think we all have been raised, well, I don't know all of us, so maybe, you know, I'm making generalizations, but many of us have been raised in cultures where, you know, knowledge is like, who can hit the buzzer first? And it's like, okay, that's a problem, actually, not just for a philosophy classroom, but for civics. So that's the second point, and the comportment, it's also a comportment point. The third point is the content point. I guess I was lucky in the philosophers whom I gravitated towards just, and again, I guess, I don't know if it's lucky or if it's obvious, but I tend to gravitate towards philosophers who are similarly wrestling. And so, you know, I found my way to a number of different ancient, medieval, contemporary, loads of different philosophers from different backgrounds, different cultures, different religions, atheists, theists, spiritual, you know, contemporary. I gravitate towards many thinkers, and I try to not just do like a big grab bag, which is like similar to the race to the buzzer, where it's just like, oh, here's as much, I'm throwing together a bunch of stuff that I don't fully get. It's more like I'm struck by how much I don't get and by how much more I need to know about so many more things. And some of the thinkers that I gravitate towards most are going to be in one way or another wrestling with reality in some way, even if they have a pretty robust system. Their systems will probably only interest me if I see that underneath there is some kind of a sensibility that's similar to what we're talking about. So, yeah, anyway, I just, I definitely, thinkers like Emmanuel Levinas, who's a thinker that I work on now in the last decade or so, and earlier and continuously I work on traditions of Neoplatonism, which are a sort of start in this great philosopher in the late ancient world, Plotinus, in the 3rd century, and following his thoughts into different religious Jewish, Islamic, Christian thinkers and different mystics and poets. So it's an eclectic group of philosophers. I guess Plotinus and Levinas come to my mind right now. They're so different and they're from such different systems, but in all of their work, I find a kind of fluid journey into discovery of what of something about the intangible nature of goodness and justice in the world, and a kind of, I don't know, exploratory fascination that they have that makes me feel that they're receptive in a way that, I don't know, feeds my hunger for models and receptivity.
So if there's an object to the game for you, I mean, it's not necessarily, oh, this is the object of the game of philosophy, right? People come to philosophy for a lot of different reasons, but the object of the game for you is it to be finding, you know, people who are really exploring and wrestling with how do we, you know, bring justice and kindness, you know, to the world?
You know, sometimes it's thinkers who are wrestling with that. And then just, I guess philosophy in general, not all of it, but a lot of it for me, is in its very nature, just even if it's not specifically asking about justice, it's curious about how things are. It's open to, in a way that good science and good art and all good things have similar traits. But I feel like philosophy is open to just endlessly questioning the nature of yourself, the nature of the other humans, the nature of the spaces between us, the nature of reality, how our reality connects to our words, how our words connect to our bodies, how our bodies move us, how we move our bodies. It's just, and again, it's not just philosophers who are looking at justice, for example, but I myself, I guess, no matter what the philosophers are talking about, I guess the main questions that I'm always looking at, even if they're talking about art or even if they're talking about consciousness or whatever, when I'm reading philosophers, I guess I'm very aware of the receptive, vulnerable activity of trying to understand somebody else's words. So that's one. Two, I'm always wrestling with, how does this change a story about myself? How does this change my story about the other people? Even if they're talking about trees, I'll ask about other people because that's my question. And how does this experience of what I'm reading, even if it's about trees, how does this implicate my capacity to live differently with other humans? So I love your work because that's a question that you're always interested in, Team Human. I know that that's not always popular in philosophy and in theology. And I frequently get asked, like, what about the animals and what about the nature? I have nothing against the animal and the nature. I'm just myself always asking the question of how do we do better between the people?
And that's our sneak preview of the conversation of bonus content with Sarah Pessin. You can hear the whole thing by becoming a member of Team Human at teamhuman.fm. You'll also get free access to our live events. You'll get access to our Discord, all sorts of cool stuff you can find out about when you click on support. Thanks for being on Team Human.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.